Hello, everyone, and welcome to Health for Niger. Today, I have a very special guest with me. His name is Dr. Ronald Ikpe of Behind the Scenes in Health. So, it gives me great pleasure to welcome you. I want you to tell the audience what you do before we dive into our conversation.
Thank you, Dr. Ngozi, for having me. Well, you've mentioned my name. I'm a doctor, physician. I'm currently working in the digital transformation space at the moment. So, in a nutshell, that's what I do. Then, by the side, I do health content, articles, threads, YouTube videos, and all of that.
That's absolutely wonderful. So you trained in Nigeria,
Yes, I did train in Nigeria, Maduna University, to be precise.
and then now you're doing some great work in the UK.
In digital transformation, yeah.
That's incredible. So thank you so much for coming on today and talking to us, and we look forward to learning about all the great work that you've been doing and also about technology in health, technology in medicine. So my first question to you is, what is the relevance of digital technology for doctors?
Well, the truth is, I mean, we're in the digital era right now, and technology is now playing a very key role in healthcare. So we call it health tech now. And at the same time, it's offering a lot of benefits for healthcare workers, especially doctors, right? So to narrow down to benefits or how it impacts doctors in a lot of ways, really. So first of all, we talk about electronic health records, right? And now, a lot of hospitals are beginning to deploy electronic health records or electronic medical records or electronic patient records, almost the same thing, really. And these are systems that really help to create, manage, and secure patient information, medical history of patients, and all of that. So these systems, they provide doctors with instant access to patient histories, lab results, medication lists, and other information they might need to improve patient care. So basically, it helps them improve patient care, there's better diagnosis, informed decision making, and improve collaboration between healthcare provider. So these are some of the quick benefits of having electronic health records. Then you now talk about telemedicine and remote patient monitoring. Now, when COVID-19 broke out, we all saw the surge in telemedicine companies. We're now talking about remote consultation, we're talking about remote monitoring of patients. So that's still digital technology supporting that, really. So virtual consultations, remote diagnosis, monitoring patients, through wearable devices, mobile apps, and all of that. Then again, for patients who are in remote areas where you have limited access, remote care consultation also comes into play. So that's another big win for, doctors using digital technology. Now, you now talk about decision support systems. Now, some of the EHR systems, that's electronic medical record systems, they come with decision support systems. These are basically, without getting too technical, algorithms that lie within the systems that sort of help improve decision making for doctors. And well, let me not get too technical about that.
Okay.
So basically, these decision support systems help doctors in terms of, for a good example, you talk about things like medication alerts, you talk about things like drug-drug interaction. Maybe I'm prescribing this medication, the system quickly checks, this patient has got allergy to this, and quickly tells the doctor, look, you can't, push this medication out because of so-so-so reason. So these are things that help doctors improve their, practice and accuracy, really. Then you talk about patient engagement and education. Now we have a lot of mobile apps out there, pregnancy, for babies, for adults, for diabetes. There are a lot of apps for different reasons now. So these are ways clinicians are able to, engage patients, lecture them or push out content in terms of health education on how maybe prevention or post-surgery or taking care of themselves, you know, or track their progress. Basically, we are now looking at things like shared decision making, improved compliance with medications and all of that. So these are some of the ways doctors are really benefiting from, you know, digital technology. Basically, it's helping their life easier or making the work easier for them, really.
Okay, so this is good information. So I'm coming from paper charts. So I worked with paper charts about 12 years ago. And then I went to a health system that used electronic health records. So I found some benefits. With the electronic health records, you can access information across the board.
Yep.
Which you can't do with paper charts. So if you have paper charts and the office is locked and somebody wants access to your records after hours,
it's difficult.
Or the medical records clerk is on lunch break, you cannot access your records. Now, with electronic health records, you can access records even from the cell phone. So that made things much smoother, much more efficient, and improved patient safety. The only thing with electronic health records, and I'm going to ask you to talk about that briefly, is that a lot of doctors are blaming their burnout on electronic health records because they cannot finish their notes on time and they're taking work home. So I want you to think about that for a minute. And I mean, what is, because a lot of doctors, they're really blaming the electronic health system for their burnout because,
yeah,
like I said, that the documentation burden is so much that they're having to take work home.
Well, you're quite correct, but again, I think there are so many layers to this problem, really. So I mean, if you read papers, and in fact that was part of my dissertation work actually for my MSc, you know, you find out that number one, I think some of these systems, they're not really designed with clinicians in mind. So I think that I was reading one article the other day that said, I mean, doctors need to be part of the design process of the systems. You don't just build a system in isolation and now come and deploy for doctors to use. It becomes difficult. So from day one, they have to be part of that design to make what works for them. That's number one. Then number two, you find that out some clinicians, they are not adequately trained, or most vendors or deploying managers or whatever, whoever is implementing the software, there is no adequate time for training the doctors, really. So they don't allocate so much time to that training. So sometimes you just have maybe like a one-off training or a two-day training and boom, that's it. You know, so there is no plan for, okay, what happens down the line and all of that. So going forward, I think most of the implementation plans have to, like, you know, properly allocate time to train physicians on how to use the system. But again, this is quite tricky again, because doctors will tell you, we are busy, we are seeing our patients, there are a lot of patients in the clinic, or I'm going to the OR, I have schedules in the theater to operate on a lot. So it's very tricky, but we have to find a way around it, because if you don't train physicians adequately on how to use the system, definitely they are going to have issues using that same system to, you know, make their documentation and all of that. So I think these are two key reasons I've seen, or problems I've seen. Then going forward, I mean, a lot of people are beginning to talk about AI and natural language processing, you know, helping clinicians do documentations faster and all of that. Well, I haven't seen that play out in real time, because most of them are still doing trials and all of that. But hopefully, some of that should help clinicians, you know, get better at documenting and hopefully reduce the administrative burden, what they have to, you know, type, because again, they say you must document. So I think that's what should be done, really.
That's a very good explanation and contribution. So let's go on to still on the topic of the relevance of digital technology for doctors. And let's talk about how digital technology helps with health data analysis as well as health education.
Yeah, so that's a good one, because now we're talking about big data. I mean, in the hospital, we collect a lot of data in terms of patient demographics, medical history, medication history, and all of that. So another benefit of, you know, digital technology, it comes in the area of data analytics and research, you know, because with research, you are able to, you know, look at the data you have. What are the trends? What are the patterns? What can we predict in the future? How do we plan interventions? You know, the intervention we're looking at, is it evidence-based? Are we just planning because we want to plan, or it's because it's what the data is showing us at this point in time? You know, so that's a huge benefit for, you know, clinicians using digital technology. Then, like you mentioned, the area of social media and patient education, really, that's another big one, because a lot of people are now, or we are leaning generally towards preventive care, really. I mean, instead of waiting for the patients to get sick, why not arm them with the right information to be able to take care of themselves, rather than waiting for them to get to the hospital and all of that? So hopefully that should reduce the cost of, you know, care and all of that. So using some of these technologies, it's good for patient education, though there are a couple of concerns around that too, you know, issues around who is passing the information, who is verifying the information, what is the authenticity, the person behind that info, is the person qualified to give that type of medical information and all of that, you know. So those are some concerns, because I mean, a lot of, you see, in the pandemic era, a lot of persons were just dishing out information left, right, and center. Now you don't even know who to believe, really, you know, because everybody is an expert in quotes. So I think that's one of the downsides that has to be looked at. You know, it has to be from a credible source. It has to be from somebody who is licensed to do that, or maybe from an organization and like major clinics, like hospitals, who are allowed to put out those type of information. So that has to be built into any plan in terms of using digital technologies for patient education.
Okay, so this is good. I'd like you to give me one example of how doctors are actually using data to impact health. Just something that, you know, you could think of. maybe in diabetes care, or in blood pressure care.
Well, off the top of my head, I mean, there are a lot of things areas where doctors are beginning to use this thing. Because, okay, for example, I remember there was a time we started having the hospital an increase in the number of stroke patients, you know, and started looking at, these are young people within their 25 to 35, you know, area. I mean, that's quite unusual, you know, and started digging in. I mean, this is not the norm. This is not what we should be seeing. So what could be the problem? So started digging in, now found out that, you know, most of them were hypertensive, and they were not on any medications, you know. Then the question was, now, why should this person at this age be hypertensive? Because again, that's not, you know, the norm. You know, we started probing, found out that some of them were doing drugs, you know, and, you know, all this cannabis and the rest of them, weed and or whatnot, you know, though some of them still had family history playing a role in them having hypertension. So again, that's what we're not able to figure out then. I think at the end of the hospital now started looking at, okay, we'll probably need to do like some sort of sensitization awareness, then at the same time intervention. So typically, you know, like mass screening, tell people, okay, we're doing free BP checks here, come and check your BP and all of that. Then if it's patients who you wouldn't normally on a normal day put a serious check on, so anybody within that age range, then you want to monitor them closely, you know, say, okay, we need to be checking your BP, or you need to buy a machine at home and all of that. So that's what's, you know, the benefit we could get from, you know, digging deep and looking at the data we had at that point in time.
Okay, that's good, because you use the data to inform next steps. So you use the data, you identified that there was a group that should not have been having strokes. Strokes are not common in young people.
Exactly.
And then you went back, looked at the data, and then you made a link with the use of substance abuse and, you know, drug and substance abuse, and made a link, and then you were able to then send invitations to people who had high blood pressure to come in and get checked.
Yep.
So that's really good. I know some places are using, they're also using data to control things like blood pressure, blood sugar,
yep,
even in pregnancy, by using remote patient monitoring, because patients can enter their blood pressure readings or blood glucose readings into their medical charts electronically on their cell phone or laptops or tablets. And that data is now transmitted to the doctor's office, and they are able to remotely monitor patients, which is great. So, and then, you know, what you said about information during COVID, during the pandemic, things were changing so fast that traditional media could not catch up. And exactly. So there were some infectious disease doctors that I was actually following on Twitter, and I was actually also following the CDC. And that is where I was getting information on even the new medications that came in, the Paxlovid that came in, the Molnupiravir that came in, the Remdesivir, the, you know, so that is where social media became so important, because, you know, you needed information, you know, rapidly, and that was the best source you could get it from. You couldn't wait to come home and then watch TV, and the whole day is gone. And if there's a breaking health news report, Twitter was actually the best source of news during the COVID pandemic, actually. And I know some of the social media platforms are starting to register or screen doctors who would be part of their health content teams. So I think YouTube is actually doing that process right now. It's actually running a pilot, I believe, in the States and Germany, where it's starting to identify accredited health influencers and health content creators. And that is important, because if we have to go through something like COVID, you need to know who the credible source is for information. This was absolutely important. So, all right. So one more question.
Yeah.
One more question. We've had a very rich discussion. So one more question. So can you tell me what you think is the future of digital technology in medicine and for healthcare? So right now we have AI, ChatGPT. Everybody's talking about it. You know, companies are really trying hard to get on board and implement it in their various processes. So where do you think you know, digital technology is going?
Well, for me, I mean, all the innovation coming in, the whole chat, GPT and the rest of them, they are amazing and, you know, good. But I think they'll only be there to, you know, sort of support what we are doing as clinicians, really, because maybe not entirely take over the whole process. I mean, you can't take out that human element or that clinician. I mean, they'll just be there to, you know, make the processes faster, improve the workflow, and make it more seamless and all of that. But you can't totally replace that human element. So that's why, you know, a lot of people now advocate for, you know, doctors to bring themselves up to speed about what's happening in the technology space. What are the latest products? How do these things work? You don't really need to get into the nitty-gritty as far as technicalities, but at least be aware that such a thing exists and this is what it does. Where is it being used? If you have the opportunity, you could go check it out and all of that. So, I mean, that's what I try to do, because though it's difficult, because a lot of things are being pushed out every day. So it's almost difficult to keep up. But doctors need to be aware of these tools and which ones they can use to improve their work, really. So that's where I see doctors and technology working together in the future, right? Yes, technology is going to play a very key and central role, but we need to be able to understand all of that, be aware and be ready for that change. I think the only people that might find this difficult are people who don't really maybe understand or want to understand that the times are changing, and I mean, tech has come to stay, so we need to be abreast of those events.
Yeah, I mean, I think I see scribes, robot scribes, and I saw that online the other day. It was for an orthopedic office, and it was a little device that was sitting on the table, listening to the conversation and typing. And that was a robot scribe. And I was fascinated because it's listening to the conversation between the doctor and the patient and taking notes. So by the time that encounter is done, the note is done, the doctor can just review, sign off, and keep moving. So I see that. And then I also see the relevance of AI in medical education and also in patient education, because, you know, in the charts, you can pressing 1-2 buttons, and then health education content is delivered to the person's email. So I see that being automated. So if someone comes in and they have back pain or they have asthma, I kind of see where an automatic email will go out to them about, oh, these are the conditions, these are your medications. So I see a big role for AI and technology in health education, and especially in Africa where we're coming from. I think AI is going to be big in health education over there. So thank you.
Yeah, this has been, because it's, you're quite correct, but again, I think a lot of work still needs to be done in terms of all of this, you know, areas you've talked about, you know, the robot listening and typing, you know, automated messages about condition being sent to, you know, patients and all of that. Yeah, they are good, but there's still a lot of work to be done, really.
Yeah, absolutely. I think also, you know, coming from Nigeria, I think the basics, those computer skills need to be honed in. Students need to be taught from primary school how to use the applications, Word, the Google Sheets, and all that. It's so those important.
Exactly.
Yeah, the basics. Yeah, because if they don't do that, they're going to find themselves completely lost.
Yeah, because I was even having this talk with somebody. I mean, even the medical training curriculum has to change. I don't know what it is in, you know, Europe and America, but you know, Africa, Nigeria, we need to start teaching people. I mean, times have changed. Technology has to be included into the curriculum, you know, things around digital health, universal health coverage, you know, all of those things need to be brought in now, not waiting till people are finished school and it begins to look very strange, you know, because I've seen people who can't send emails or use Word or do PowerPoint presentations or manipulate Excel, you know.
In 2023?
Exactly, yes. So those are the issues.
Maybe you have to do a workshop. Maybe you have to do a workshop. But I think things will definitely improve. Yeah, absolutely. So I want to say thank you so much for coming on to this platform, Health for Naija, to talk about the relevance of digital technology for doctors and in medicine. And can you tell me where the audience can connect with you? What platforms are you on? I know you have a YouTube channel.
Yes, I'm on YouTube. Then you can find me on Twitter. No,
so your Twitter. Your YouTube handle is.
I keep missing it, but I'll probably share the link for you.
Okay.
If that's not.
I think it's what behind the scenes.
In Health with Dr. Ron. Yes.
Behind the scenes. Okay, let's see. Yes, because I'm following you, so I will have that in the link in bio.
Awesome. Thank
you. So I'll have that in the link in bio so people can go and look at some of the work that you've done. All right. So thank you so much again for spending time to share your knowledge and insights on digital technology and health, and keep up the great work that you're doing.
Thank you.
Keep it up. So thank you, Dr. Ron.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.